Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey guys, welcome into episode 59 of Coffee and Shell. I am Sleeves, your host, joined by my two co-hosts, Padre and Kesso, as always. We've got a long list of things to discuss. We had a little bit of a hiatus as I went to New York and then got extremely sick this past weekend. So, you know, we'll talk about all that and stuff, but how have you two gentlemen been? We'll start with Padre. What's been new?
Not much. Same old. Working, playing hockey, going to some Blues games.
How are the Blues games?
Yeah, they're all right. Kind of a snoozer. I was at the game yesterday, and tonight I didn't go. I let my brother go, and I just took the night off. But, yeah, it's been good. Like you, trying not to get sick. A lot of guys at our work and women at our work are sick right now, so my dad's sick, and I'm like, great, here we go. Because Christmas, we were all sick on Christmas, and we didn't go anywhere. So I'm like, oh, gosh, here we go again.
Oh, that sucks.
Not to mention with, like, a nine-week-old in the house, it's like, you know,
Kesso. You got to be really scared.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You don't want to, like, get sick, so.
Yeah. What about you, Kesso?
Dude, it was an action-packed weekend. We took our daughter to an amusement park for the first time, Kennywood. It's a Pittsburgh landmark. They had like Christmas lights up, so we did that. We took her on her first ride. We took her on a carousel. She was smiling. She was looking at all the lights. It was a blast.
And then it's wholesome.
Yeah, and it was actually my wife and I's first wedding anniversary this weekend. So we got a babysitter.
Dude, I forgot, man. When we were doing the podcast, you had just started.
Yeah,
that was you. That's wild.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, so we went out. We had a nice dinner and stuff. It was awesome.
That's so great. Funny to think about that. We talked about that on the podcast when we started it.
Yeah, I remember that. It's like, oh, I'm going to be off for a while, you know, getting married. It's a lot of work, as you guys know. So
yeah, that was, yeah. The wedding is wild.
Time flies.
So I went to New York for the New York Islanders phase event. It was by far the best NHL gaming event I've been to, and it had nothing to, it's very weird, it had nothing to do with the stream, like the actual Regs versus Eki stream. The major focus was like the in arena and like the event as a whole. There was a ton of people that showed up. I think they sold 100 tickets to go into the event and watch Eki and Regs play each other live, and then do a meet and greet with the four phase members that came. And then it was nuts. They had like a crazy line outside the merch store, and they, you know, you could buy like their limited edition merch. The merch was fire that they made for it. The fisherman logo doing the phase up. I don't know how they got that approved from like an NHL franchise, but yeah. Well, because it was perfect in my opinion. I think
it's perfect because it's the fisherman logo. That's
exactly.
Why.
Exactly. Like, yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah. If there's one logo to do it with, but, no, I had an absolute blast. Got to see a lot of guys from the community, like, Sheckle and George that I haven't got to see in a while. Had some great pizza at this place called Grimaldi's. I know Portnoy's rated it before, and we rated it pretty high. So it was near our hotel. It was fantastic, but, no, I went to four NHL arenas in 6 days, like just by happenstance. I went and saw the Leafs and Sharks. Marner's franchise tying point was his 18th. They were just force feeding the puck with the empty net.
Yeah,
my Sharks got beat pretty bad. And then on Sunday, I went and saw the Sharks against Buffalo. Buffalo using the Goathead jerseys, which in my opinion are some of those fire jerseys in all of hockey. Did we talk?
Which are
about
being
that?
Added to the
they
NHL 23. Oh,
we start with a patch too. We forgot about that. That doesn't come as a recording of this. But and then on Monday, went to MSG where they played St. Louis and had great season. The MSG is it. Up there with like Fenway in terms of like experience in the like the atmosphere in the bowl, like it's the roof. It has to be the roof. Like I don't know how else to explain it. It's very unique, very mm-hmm. very unique. I thought like the concourse. It's an old place. I was pretty impressed with the concourse. Like I guess they had just renovated it. Nippin was saying that they just renovated it. But
wouldn't you rather go to a game? So we were having this argument with Jay Ben. He's a community member and a few others. We were having this argument in Discord the other night about football stadiums, but we were talking about baseball. He said he'd rather go to a game at Citizens Bank Park than Fenway Park, and he's a Red Sox fan. And if you've never been to a park,
what's the context? Okay, I've been to both.
Right, but I'm saying if you've never been to a game before, would you rather go to a historic ballpark or NHL state, whatever, you know what I mean? A historic stadium.
Are you a baseball fan or are you just a sports fan?
It doesn't matter. Like I said, so you're a baseball fan. Would you rather go to Wrigley, Fenway? I would rather go to the historic ones. But he was like, well, no, Citizens Bank is more rowdy and there's more fans. Oh, I don't care about that. I'm going because it's like this place is 100 years old and it's got a freaking massive wall in left field, or they have ivy on the wall and they have freaking, you know what I'm saying? Like that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Like if you have never, I guess if it's like you had to choose like your first one, like you're, the thing is like a night game at Fenway Park, I feel like everyone in the world should experience that. Yeah. Because when they say like Sweet Caroline and like a night game there under the lights is like, it was, I'll never forget that. Like it, cause it's just, there's, the park is so nuts, like, because the monster, right? But it's very, I don't want to say run down, that's not the right word, but it's, like, dude, you're taking a leak in like a trough, dude. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's very, very old school.
Oh, yeah, it's old school.
To the point where, like, Citizens Bank, on the other hand, I really enjoy Citizens Bank, too. I don't know, that's an interesting debate. I would still much rather go to Fenway, because if you've never seen Fenway, I feel like everyone that is a sports fan, even if you don't like baseball, should definitely experience Fenway Park. So, yeah, I don't know. If I had to regularly see games, there's a lot of bad views of Fenway.
Like, oh, yeah. Coast? I just meant the atmosphere, the ambiance. Like,
yeah, same no, kind of that thing can't with, be like, matched. That can't be matched at Fenway.
When I went to the Bell Center, and then the next night I went to the Maple Leafs game, at Scotiabank, I'd rather go to the Bell Center, and they were a worse team at the time, but it was just a cooler atmosphere, I thought. I thought there was a lot of suits at the release.
Yeah, you get a lot of bad, like, so I've been to a lot of Leaf games in my life, and I feel like you get a lot of bad Leaf experiences, but a playoff Leafs game, I've been to a playoff Leafs game, and I can't ever think of, like, a louder, more... It is very weird watching a hockey game with 18,000 people and there's silence while the game is being played. I've never experienced that before, and when I went, it was game 6 of 2013. This is when they came. This is before the collapse of game 7, like the big one, and they had to win to force game 7. And in the first period, there was no score, and bro, it was 18,000 nervous people. And they were just like, even just like a dump in got like oozed like a little bit, like that, you can hear that tension. And like, I think Kadri or Phaneuf scored. I think it was a tip in from Phaneuf. And I couldn't even hear the horn. Like, I can see a regular season game is, way different experience like than at the Maple Leaf. Because I just went to one and we sat in corporate seats because Johnny, the VPs, they all get season tickets to everything, and a lot of the VPs will raffle them off if they're not going to their employees, like to their departments, and Johnny had won, and it was nuts. We got free food, hey, and, like, free drinks and stuff.
But Mellon Arena, Kesso, over PPP Paints Arena, PPPG Paints Arena, sorry. All day,
PPG,
right?
Yeah. No, dude, Mellon Arena was falling apart, man.
No, but that one game, if you had to go back and see one game, where would you rather see a game?
The Igloo, dude, that's so cool.
I totally get your point. You know what PPG I mean? Paints, man, it's like, it doesn't matter where you sit, every single view is amazing, I think.
Right.
I love that arena.
The old school arenas.
Yeah, there is. The small-ass seats, like, you know, you got some guy next to you that is way too big to fit in that seat, and he's spilling, like, pop or beer on you. Yeah, I get it. I get it.
How about this, like, the history? Like, you're at MSG, like, you know what I mean?
Compared MSG, to, like I said, like...
It's like the history that's going on in that building is so
when
cool.
When I was walking to MSG... Like, it felt different. Like, know what I mean? I'd never been in New York City.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, this is my first time in New York City.
That's cool.
And I was like, oh, man. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you can't see down the block. Like, it's just you're blocked by every single building, right? You get inside MSG, and the concourse was just redone because I was expecting, like, old arena kind of, like, ugly. And it wasn't. It was actually pretty decent. It was pretty wide, too. I was pretty surprised about that. But once you get in, when I walked up the stairs into it, I was like, we had great seats. I think we were, like... 12 back from the goaltender. We were behind Binner, so like we could see the Rangers were shooting twice. And I remember I was just looking around. I'm like, dude, this is wild. I can't even imagine in a playoff game. Like, because like they're just nuts. But UBS is the best arena in the NHL. Like, the best in terms of like space, availability, like food, where you've got to go, the bathroom, where you're sitting. Like, there isn't a bad seat. Like, but that's not really fair because it's literally the newest arena. Like, you can't really, you know what I mean? Like, so you went and parking and, like, well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, getting to it and the exit and everything is very convenient. So, I don't know.
The house that Cord Lehman built.
Yeah, the house that Cord Lehman built, yeah. We got to, so during that, I got to go and sit down. We had a suite that was underneath So they had glass seats. We got to sit on glass seats beside the Islanders bench, and you go underneath, and you're in this like private bar, and the players walk out in between the like two of them.
Yeah.
And it, the funniest thing, man, like while they're warming up and like, you know, like getting ready to go, whatever, but it's two-way glass. So they can't see you, and there's like 15 of us like all taking videos and pictures. I'm just thinking, I'm like, man, imagine it just flicked off for like a half second and the players could like see us, like how stupid it would look.
The Blues have that, but it's not two-way glass.
No, same, Little Caesars, you walk through like the VIP season ticket holder like restaurant, yeah, which I thought Little Caesars is also an amazing arena too. Yeah. All right, so that was a really long-winded intro, but anyways, it was great. I got really sick this past weekend after I got back, not COVID, which is crazy. It's literally just the flu. I think people just forgot.
The flu is running rampant. My dad has it right now. Influenza A. Influenza A, apparently. I don't know what the difference is, but yeah.
I got absolutely crushed by it, but my wife was okay, and whatever. It is what it is. So, all right, we got to start with the big news, but we haven't talked about on the podcast since it happened. Kesso is no longer a game changer. Bro, yeah. Walk us through all that.
Dude, I had to do my Irish goodbye before I was kicked out, honestly. Let's like, no, I mean, it got to a point. I had talked about it with both of you guys. I'm like, hey, I don't really agree that this is not a $60 or $100 product. Mm-hmm. I think what I wrote in my tweet or whatever, like I view this company as like very anti-consumer, you know, they do a lot of bad things.
Yeah.
So I had considered quitting for a while. I talked to you guys like, oh, do I think it's worth, like, is it worth it to quit? Like, and, it got to a point where I was like leaning towards it. And then I texted you guys and Sleeves. You're like, that's, you know, probably not worth it. You might as well stick it out. And then I saw, you know, one of the guys from EA was being kind of rude to another game changer. And at that point, whenever I had seen that, I was like, you know what? F this company, like, I quit. And I feel a little bad, honestly, because, like, I think I did a lot of positive things in that program. NHL 22 had, like, no glitch goals in the game. Mostly due to me, I think. Ben Ross was very receptive last year, too, to get them patched before the game came out. This year, you know, we see the goals that are in the game. You know, I tried my best to get them fixed prior. I think what it boils down to, I lost like hope in this game franchise too. And I'm like, I don't see this getting better. So like, I'm done. Like, I have zero hope for this.
Yeah, I texted you. I was a little frustrated that you left.
Yeah.
Because you're right. Like, we don't, game changers don't have, I hate that, okay, first of all, we're not even called game changers anymore.
Yeah, it's the design council, or the EA, yeah, like, and part of the broader EA creator network.
Yeah, basically, yeah, so we're glorified QA testers to an extent, but I would say of all the things that we type and give feedback to, maybe 5% we see, maybe, you know, maybe 5% of things. Yeah. The problem is that, like, when we lose a good game changer like yourself, when it comes to, like, certain specific parts of the game, if they're going to listen to 5% of someone, I don't think there's many people that are better at it than in terms of, like, finding gameplay bugs and glitches than yourself. So, you know, it sucks to lose you, obviously. I don't blame you for it, and, you know, we'll see what happens for it. I'm not leaving because I feel that I've stuck it out with Hockey Ultimate Team for so long that I only comment now on the game modes and the stuff that you do in Hutt, and that's pretty much all my focus is. That's the only time I bring up my voice, because it's my only thing like that I focus on, really. It's my only like part of it, so I'm gonna keep doing that because I want to see if I can at least,
yeah, yeah, dude. So I'm glad you're saying that, because like whenever I did like tweet that and stuff and like tell people, they're like, oh, they tagged like you, Thrash, yeah, Henrique, etc., and they're like,
they want,
look
to
at these
a
guys
walk out, and I get the moment,
yeah,
but
and
the
that doesn't help the game
out. Exactly,
like, that doesn't do anything. And the reason that I did it too is that I think you guys have probably been in similar boats like recently, where it's like, we're not getting anywhere. I can afford to do that, you guys can't. Like, you guys are like full-time content creators, like, this is your job. So, like, I still wanted to make a point, like, I'm very unhappy with where this franchise is going. Does Queso Pagani leaving the Game Changer program move the needle at all? No, but you know what it does? Like, it goes across the desk, or there's an email to somebody at EA, like, hey, this guy's pissed, and, like, maybe there's some eyes on it. I will tell you guys one thing, which I thought was funny, is that whenever I tweeted that, I got messages from multiple devs saying, like, hey, if I could like this on Twitter, I would. I agree with you, right? And that's, yeah, sorry, you know, I could say that now, like, I guess, but...
This isn't, yeah, man, this is a bigger issue with sports franchises as a whole, and specifically EA, like, the EA Sports. Like, they are trying to hold on to dear life to the yearly release model, and it is not feasible in the gaming landscape that we are in.
We can't, I don't think, there's not a good EA Sports video game company.
Because they do not have enough time to develop a game, but they can't sacrifice the hit that they would take by taking 6 months off, holding off a sports game release title to get the things in that they would want that would make substantial improvements. So you're holding onto a model that has worked for 30 years. Like, think back, like, in the early 90s is when yearly sports games started, right? And back then, there was no online play. There was barely any couch co-op play. All that you would do is you'd play GM mode and franchise mode.
Yeah.
And there'd be all these cool new things added into the game. But after 30 years of, like, adding in the skill stick and deking and manual goaltender and EASHL, it's like, what new can you add in a year? I mean,
not only that, think about how many, not even talking about video games, but, like, think about just business in general. How many businesses, if you look at them 30 years ago, are operating the same exact way that they did 30
years ago,
retail
stores, right? That are out of business. Those are the ones that operated the same way, right? And, like, that's what's happening in the sports industry. But the thing is that they have no competition. Almost every single one doesn't have a competition, doesn't have a competitor. So the only way, and this all comes back to, like, man, 2K needs to make an NHL game. This is across all sports, man. Every single sports game does not have a competitor.
Look at the monetization in, like, 2K basketball, you know? Like, you have to spend, like, $200. It's a great game, but you have to spend, like, $200, like, to be on an even playing field with one character. Like, it's...
2K probably has one of the best games because it's in total unison with the league, its esports division, like the 2K League, and, like, the NBA, and 2K Sports. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they're all working together to build this thing, whereas almost every other sports game is just battling. Like, they're all like, trying to get a piece, and it's just, you know, like, until that changes, we won't see major change. I feel like in the next 5 years, we will see a major shift in sports games. It's probably not an EA game. It probably won't be EA. It'll probably be MLB, or maybe it's 2K, where you see a subscription-based model that, I'm not talking like what you would normally think. I'm thinking like World of Chell comes out for free.
Yeah, that's what you were talking about. I mean, I think, like, that's ideal.
Yeah, like World of Chell, it comes out. This is an example. Like, World of Chell comes out for free, and you can play that, and there's battle season passes for it, and you can do all this kinds of stuff, and then all of their focus goes into, like, the, you know, the yearly game of, like, it. I don't know. It will be substantially different, because I don't see how they had to have lost money this year. I feel like, especially after COVID. There's no way that year over year made more money after all the COVID money, because I feel like that propped up the gaming industry huge. Everyone was at home.
You know, same people still buy it every year, dude. And I run in the, you know, stack teams. I know those guys are spending money. So, like, before we move on to the next thing, like, yeah, once again, no hard feelings against the devs. Like, they're all great people. They all do their, you know, they do everything they can. 100%. Just a tough business model. And
And everyone's frustrated. I think that's something else that you need to understand.
Dude, like, and they care. Like, dude, they care. Clappy cares. He cares a lot. It's, I know it's surprising. It's a
thankless job he's got.
I see, you know, Padre smiling over there, but those people care. And
I had something in my tooth. I was just trying to get it out.
Nations of Hockey.
Yes, we got to discuss it. Before we go to the next event, though, the hot topic here, geez. We got to thank Gamer Saloon, our sponsor for the podcast. Make sure, man, you played in a biggie against Duncan Deli. How'd that go?
I did. I lost my best of three against him. I thought I outplayed him both games, but I lost. It is what it is, man, but it was fun. Dude, it got the juices flowing again.
That's
good. I lost 2-0. It brought back the old me. I messaged him after. I was like,
yo,
I messaged Duncan. Then I went in his stream. I was like, hey, GG's, but you got bailed big time.
Yeah, I need that re. So, guys, if you guys want to get into some money games, if you think that you are pretty good at the game or you want to improve, the best way to do it is have some money on the line while you're doing it. So check out Gamersaloon.com. Link is in the description down below. And be sure to try out them, as they've been a great sponsor for the podcast. So we do have to discuss Nations of Hockey. So our latest event. Really mixed reactions here for a couple things, and I'd like to get your opinions on them. First, It looks like it's a multi-week event, and they accidentally, oopsie-daisy, spoiled the second week of Masters, and that always kind of makes the event less exciting, because I think the one thing they do well is the hype, like, not the hype, but, like, the 5 p.m. what's coming out, like, you know, I mean, like, that's still something they do decently.
Well, it's funny, because week one didn't leak.
Yes, week two did, yeah, like, yeah, anyway, so, we got essentially four new Masters out this year, or this month. I want you to talk to me about, did they move the needle for you at all?
They moved it for Padre. I know they moved it for him.
Yeah. Apparently, it's a 4 week event, too.
Yeah. It looks like it's 3 to 4. It's at least 3.
Yeah.
It
might be 4. He said 4. And apparently, that second leak, it wasn't actually week 2. Apparently, it's a different week. But hey, it's still
leaking. They're probably going to readjust it.
Yeah. So
they'll readjust it.
I love the goalie. Good lefties.
Yeah.
I cannot say it. I said at the beginning of the year, I don't know if I said it on the podcast, but Shesterkin was the one goalie besides, I guess, Markstrom that everyone used Markstrom. That's fine. I get it. He's the biggest guy that's, like, the best overall. But Shesterkin was the one guy, and you're going to let the cat out of the bag anyways, I feel like. But Butterfly Effect Gold is the one ability that I just notice all the time when I play the Shesterkin. And it's exceptional reflexes when dropping and making low saves in the Butterfly. And I feel like with all the issues around the net, which we'll talk about later kind of with the goalie issues, I feel like having a guy that can kind of take away the bottom of the net and keep that, like, down low area covered better. And I remember saying, if there's a guy that's released that's over 6'1 and he's 6'4, I'm making him, like, no matter what, if he has gold Butterfly Effect. And he's been, like, awesome so far. Like, is he going to make me win every game? No. But he's making saves where, kind of like you said, Sleaze, a few years ago, I remember watching you were saying he makes, like, a few of those wow saves every game, or just, like, wow, like, you know, that usually goes in or whatever. So even if it's just a little bit of help, I feel better with him in net. The other ones I didn't really mess with, Eberle, Yoki Haru, and Reichel. But the goalie, yeah, I think that's a must make if I'm anybody out there that, you know, cares.
Okay, what about you, Kezo?
I might make the goalie. I might, like, get him up to, like, 87 or 88 whenever you can activate that Butterfly Effect. Because I agree. I heard the Reichel's good.
I used him this afternoon.
Yeah. Did you notice anything? I know it's hard to notice.
I think it's just Elite Edges, dude. I don't know.
Is it gold Elite Edges that he has?
Yeah. Yes. So, like, I think it feels like you're playing. He's a buck 72, though. It feels like you're playing LAN. Like,
oh damn.
Like when you use Elite Edges, it feels like you're playing on 2 ping. That's my best way to describe it. Like, so when you get a player and you give it to a guy with gold Elite Edges, like Barzal is X Factor, for example, like, it just feels like your movements are all so insane. That I don't know, and I don't know if maybe I'm overreacting, but, like, that's my best way to describe it, because his speed isn't anything incredible. He's lefty, right? Yes. There isn't a lot. Like, I'd rather have McDavid, right? And you have Teuvo Teravainen, who's very similar. So, like, there's not a lot of value in him. But he's out of him compared to Eberle. I definitely noticed, like, comparing the two. I don't think he's a must make though. But Gudlevski's.
Oh, one more thing about the goalie, too, whatever. Gudlevski?
Gudlevski's, I think.
Gudlevski. He's a good lefty. He has 59 aggression, too. I think that's what does it for him.
I don't know if that's a bad thing with the far side shot, dude.
So, like,
a good thing, sorry.
I used this other goalie today. I forget who it was. It was, like, an 82 overall that had 57 aggression, maybe, and he seemed decent. So I think that's still good, I think. Because that's how, like, the Ben Bishop is, and he's, like, 6'7", though, but...
Because the meta used to be with when one-timers went in, the reason why using a low-aggression goalie was because they would get left and right faster, because they're sit-back.
Yeah, but so people still do the forces, though.
Yeah, but you're, like, slammed in the crease now. Like, a one-timer that goes to the face-off dot, like, doesn't go in. You know, it's a different type of one-timer, because I don't think there's any goalie.
So you're saying it's not the aggression at all that plays zero?
I'm saying that the aggression now, I don't know if having, like, bottom-out aggression is a good thing. So I've been talking about point shots. We'll talk a little more on abilities, but I've been doing just straight-up wristers, because all I do is go for tips now. And there'll be times where I fire a wrister low far side from the point that is not touched, and it just goes in because the goalie doesn't move. And I'm wondering if he's just so far back in the net, or if it's, like, goalie issues that we'll talk about, but I'm not sure. But I definitely think that he's worth it right now. The problem is that there'll always be a new hotness goaltender. But, I mean, I did look at the cost, because now I added a new tier, right? So I think it's an extra like 5 or 6 collectibles. So now that cost is starting to creep up a little bit, because up until this point with the 89s, it was like 150K made an extra or made an MSP. That's nothing because of how easily it is to get coins now, right? Like, Padre, you barely play and you had like 700K. You know what I mean? Like it just, the coins just come in and people still don't realize that. But I'm thinking now, like making one every event is, especially with Team of the Year coming, is not worth it. But Gudlevski's, I think, because we haven't had another goaltender, like Base Markstrom is what everyone's been using because he was cheap and fine, and goaltender really doesn't matter. There, because the other two was Wah, awful. Saros, awful. So like this was like our first option that was like a realistic good one. And you know, as attributes go up, shooting attributes go up, like goalie attributes have to go up or you're going to get picked apart. And that's, I think, that what's happening. Because Markstrom to me has been awful. Like, yeah, this last 2 weeks, I have no confidence in him. I showed you that clip.
Yeah.
Of the worst goal. He literally, an unscreened wrister, just walking in line, like 4 feet over it, threw it on the net and it just went right through him. I was just like, I don't know what's happening anymore. So
I think this guy might be like the Noonan a few years ago.
Maybe.
You know, like where you use him for a long time.
Again, goaltenders are so bad. Like, I mean, sorry, not bad, but like they're so. Well, I mean, this year it's a disaster. But like they are not what makes or breaks you. Like sometimes they will steal you a game, very rarely. And you know, all you need, it's your defense that really dictates how good a goaltender is for the most.
Yeah,
part.
But you can't really play defense in this game.
You can't play defense. He cannot play defense in this game. But no, I think the next week, I'm assuming these master sets will come out next week. They will reorder it, I'm assuming. Because if they release, then we just know when those are coming, and it's just kind of lame. I'd rather get the new ones that we know.
They should put in, like, one that we know each week, because if there's three
maybe
more weeks.
Yeah, that
like
might be. That might be. Just do the banners again.
Yeah.
So the one I'm interested, you know, so the female Japanese player, I think her name is Ayako Toyo, or I'm mixing up the names. I think it's Ayao Toko. I don't remember. She's 5'2" in real life. Which is not able to be put in the game. So I think the minimum that they can put in the game is 5'5". So that'll be interesting to see what ends up happening. If they just like
they better give her like 5 gold abilities.
I cannot wait to try that card out, because I don't know if it's all in my head. I cannot body check Marie-Philippe Poulin. That is the one woman card that everyone has that started the game because they got the free X factor of her.
Yeah.
And she was like a decent skater, you know, shooter and like whatever. So people just like used her, and I cannot hit her off the puck. And I don't know. Maybe, I mean, Goudreau was usable. Like smaller players seem viable this year, especially on PlayStation, because you can't bump anyone off the puck. No one has truculence, so it's like who knows? Imagine they give her a. I want to see what would be your soup of like 4 abilities that you would
wait? Is she a defenseman?
I think no shot.
She's a forward.
I would. Oh man, if she's a 5'2" defenseman.
Okay, she's probably a forward. I didn't look her up.
I think she's a forward. Give me okay. Pretend she's a forward.
Okay, she's a forward. I want to see gold. Gold unstoppable force. Silver close quarters. Silver skilled him up. I don't know what the other one would be.
It'd be like... I mean, she would have to have unstoppable force. To even, like... I think gold unstoppable force. So that you could actually, like, avoid some.
Dude, she might be a glitch if she's 5'5".
That's what I'm saying, gold unstoppable force, silver elite edges, and what would be like be the other one? Like, give me one more silver ability. What's like the best one? Truculence? Like, just make
that'd
her,
be
like,
great. I would
like
use her.
Tank. That'd be hilarious. Like, it would just cause chaos. Yeah. I don't know. I think that if they gave her a gold unstoppable force, that at least, I don't know. That at least EA knows what they're doing. That happens, you know what I mean? Like, EA knows what they're doing at that point. All right. And then we've got Martin Favory, who, again, I think there's an issue when it comes to master set players. I think that when we talked, it was last year, the Eric Branstrom, that's always going to be our example.
Yeah, it's like the worst choice of all time.
Yeah, and I feel like a lot of people don't like these choices, but I would love to hear from, if there's anyone that's European that maybe from the countries represented, okay, outside of North America, let me know if your country was represent, like if you have any affinity. As a Canadian, like Jordan Eberle is a fine pick. We also have a million players that they could pick, and I feel like they've done Eberle a lot. But like Eberle makes sense. Like he has one of the most historic World Junior moments, like probably ever. So I mean, like that kind of made sense. But Martin Favory, oh my, I'm gonna mess this up too. I think it's Slovakia. I'm trying to think picture. I'm trying to picture the logo.
It's like Czech or Slovakia.
It's Czech. Yeah, I think it's Czech. I think it's Czech. Yeah. So, but he's 6'2". They're gonna give him truculence. If everyone complained about like the master set choices and everything like that, they're 100% gonna give him. And he looks like he's a half decent build. I think he's 6'2". So I don't know. I mean, that one could be useful. And then he's sure. Like, dude, there's no way he doesn't have at least silver quick draw. Like they're gonna. You know what I mean? Like, I hope they just don't start making all the MSPs.
He's going to be really fast.
Yeah. He's also pretty quick, too. Like, I have a feeling that he's going to be sneaky good as well.
6'1".
So. Yep. And then I think Kendall.
What's the lady's name again?
I always mix it up. It's either Ayeo Toko or Ayoko Toyo.
Is it Haruka Toko?
Maybe I don't remember because I can only remember the four digit name.
Okay, she's 5'6" in game.
In game.
In game, because yeah, I'm looking at her base card.
So
she's 141 in game.
Dude, like it's just gonna be so much fun to try because we've never had anything like this before. So it's gonna be the absolute bare minimum that they can put a creative player in, and I think it's 5'5". I think the lowest you can go is 5'5". So I don't know.
Yeah, so she's like 5'6". So they'll have her at 5'6".
And then the last one I think is Kendall Coyne for Team USA. I think that was the other leaked one. Super fast. Like her master set early on, even her base card early on, those guys that just straight line on a diagonal. Like, I don't know. It could be interesting too. So
I'm going to make them both. I'm really excited.
I can't. Dude, I'm 100% going to make the Japanese girl for sure. Like, because it'll just be hilarious to try out, you know? You never know. But yeah, so the progression is super slowed though. Like,
yeah,
90 overalls right now. I feel like something, uninstalled. Benny tweeted this out about how the one thing that EA's content team he thinks has done well is that they've halted progression. Like, they are hard capping that. Just a few years ago, we had that Datsuka, whatever, and Chara that were 95s for this same event, and we can't get past 90. And what ends up happening is when you have a banger event, Spreadsheet Hockey was one of the best releases we've ever had. Just in terms of the cards that came out, they made sense. The abilities they put on them, like that Barzal is unbelievable. Like that Barzal you could use for months, right? And then same with Bergeron and Uyghur. So when you have an event like that and the progression does not go up a lot event over event, What ends up happening though, they're keeping progression low, but then you have an event where it's like, man, we don't get anything. Like, oh, 2 more weeks of I'm not making any of these master set players. It's like, yeah, but like you also don't ruin the game by January, you know?
Yeah, no, I mean, I like it a lot just because for that reason. Because even then, like Padre, your team's a little bit worse than mine, but like my team's not elite. I think like I looked at the Hut Champs leaderboards because they show overall now, and I had like the eighth worst team out of the top 100. Like by overall, but like even then, if you have like one of the best teams, it's only like 2 overall more than yours, right?
It's not crazy, man. Like there's a few cards that are outliers for being 90 overall or 89 overall. Like Gretzky, Lemieux, McDavid, Barzal, like those are outliers because they're so much faster or they have an insane ability combo, something like that. But yeah, for the most part, man, the overall is really low. It keeps the ability for players to start later or not have as jacked up as teams. Like, maybe your first and second line are comparable, and maybe your third and fourth are, like, obviously those ones are getting outpaced, but there's enough cards where you can kind of, for cheap, make up for that.
Yeah, dude, thank God they don't give out 99s when the game comes out like they did, like, 4 years ago or five with the Jager. Yeah.
Oh, God, I wish I was a creator, like, back then, because, like, dude, imagine having, like, a 90. I would add them both, you know? Like, yeah. I can't even imagine what that was like. Was that a Ginla?
It was a Ginla and Jager. I remember matching up with Nuge in the community, and he had like one of those teams because he was like you know, like streaming all the time then.
That's why he was big.
And I matched up with him and I had like a shitty team and I beat him and I was like, hey, you want to give those cards to me? And I got like an instant block from him, like, or banned from his pink channel.
Pink slips, bro.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hopefully the next MSP. So what countries would there still be then? Austria. Do they do Russia?
Austria.
They have to.
Do they have to?
I wonder if that's... I mean, here's their scapegoat. You know, if they can't do Russia for political reasons or whatever, Ovechkin is PR safe. I would bet it's probably Ovechkin if they do. I don't know. I don't know what they do in that situation, because like, that's the IHF, so I have no idea, right?
Even under the IHF, like with the, I'm looking at it now, like the international teams, like Russia's not an international team, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because were they still competing? I know for the Olympics, they were like the country formerly known as.
I don't know. But after,
so like, they're not in the game. I don't think they have Russian jerseys in the game. So
they're not.
They're not going to do Russia.
They won't get a card.
I wonder if they do it like in their, in like a team jersey. I don't know. I could just see like Ovechkin would be safe. Because they can promote Ovechkin all they want. I don't know. I don't know what they do for that. So maybe they don't. Last year they did.
But
this happened in March. Man, my dates are all bad. Yeah. This happened in March. I'm stupid. Yeah, that'll be interesting. So, okay, no Russia then. Then if there's 12? If it's 4 weeks, man, I don't know. Like, Italy's getting an MSP?
Korea can get one. 1, 2, 3.
They'll probably just duplicate some countries.
Maybe, yeah, that would make most sense. Like, if maybe we get a female Canadian, and
they're gonna do France. They're gonna do who's it? Cristobal Huey.
Cristobal Huey.
Yeah, that's what they're gonna do.
Yeah, I guess see that. Yeah.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Zuccarello, Norway. Yep.
Norway, yeah. Is there another Norwegian? Because I feel like they use him every year. I can't think of one.
He already has an event card for this one. So
yeah, he did. He did get an event card.
So they're not going to do him.
Yeah.
Kazakhstan? No, they don't have any players.
Austria's got some guys. Denmark's got some guys.
That'd be cool. Like, I actually low-key, like the international event. Like, the reason why I think this works as well is that it's such a weird feeling, though, because of, like, the World Juniors in Canada, like, you guys aren't from here. It's a far different feel for us than what you guys do, and now this year is not hitting the same. Like, I'm surprised they didn't get kicked out of the IHF. That's a whole other topic. We're getting into the weeds here.
We're getting some murky waters here.
I know, yeah, the glass is dirty. It's a dirty glass.
It's getting risky. We're, like, kind of grazing on some subjects, and then we're pulling back. They're like, isn't the place.
We're getting the bumpers up on the bowling alley here. All right, so let's talk about the free MSPs, because that has been under fire as well.
Yeah, I was frustrated about that, because I saw some people. What, do you have something to say?
Me and Padre were talking earlier about this, yeah. And I want to get your. I think this is a business thing, and I'm slowly learning this because I'm about to low key start my own business. So I'm understanding a little bit more. I'm learning more about like what you can do for a consumer. Follow me here. If you give something out for free that was previously not done, a service, whatever, product, whatever it is. People are amazed by it. Okay, like it's great. This is all free. And the second, but now let's say 4 months later, you put a slight cost to it. But the year prior, you would have prayed for something like this. But because you have received it for free at one point in time, it completely diminishes the value you put on what you're receiving. So, what happened this year? We would at maybe in June get a free MSP in prior NHL games. Every single event, we have essentially gotten a free MSP because the amount of games played was not exceptional. And I mean, the spotlight one was like, you could get it done in a very, very quick amount of time. So now people are used to, hey, I got this free thing. And now it's like they've jacked up the games played, which if a year ago, we would have begged for something like this.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think that that's playing into it, or do you think that no matter what, even if they gave it to us last year at this amount of games played, the complaint would still be there?
I think it's only because it's been increasing, right? Like, because we would have killed for something like this last year.
Exactly.
I don't even think, what is it? Is it 600? How many games is it for the Mets? It's
640 games of one card.
Yes. So if you fill your team up with this, you can realistically finish it in 32 games, right? Or like
the issue
40.
is that every card is going a minimum for 20K because they only release like 12 event cards the first week.
Yes, but if you do it in 2 weeks and you fill your team, you don't have to do it instantly. That's the thing. I don't know if people realize that. You don't have to do it the day the event drops, right? If you just pick up some for like 10K or whatever as it goes on, you could finish this by casually playing because there's burst. The games take 8 minutes. Squad battles counts towards it, right?
The second 3v3, man, I would save coins. The second 3v3 hits, when we get 2 days of 3v3, I would buy up. I think you can get eight into your lineup six into your lineup without them ever seeing the ice.
Okay.
Because your lineup, if they're in your full lineup, but they're not in your 3-on-3 lines, they still count and they never have to see the ice. You could load them up with 82s, whatever. Right, like your backup goalie, all of that, and it won't matter. But you're right. Like, if EA shot themselves in the foot, like I said, if they'd started at an exceptional cost, but they were still free, we would be appreciative of it, and we would not have this. Man, they're just increasing. You know what I mean? Because we are used to, and this is just how it is in consumer. Like when you have it, when you do anything in business, you can't give away something for free and ever raise the cost. Unless it's a product that is so in demand that you can't, right? Like, and that's what they've done. I think. Padre, do you agree? Like, do you think that like that people would have complained no matter what the games being this high that they are now? Because you're someone that doesn't spend money on the game and you look for the shortest route possible at every single thing for the game. So, do you think that it's too much? Is it exceptional, or do you think that like it's fine because we never had this?
Yeah, I think it's too many games for sure. And like you said, starting out with the free one at first doesn't help. I mean, people are going to complain no matter what. People just complain about everything. I mean, that's just how it is. Like I told you earlier about like how I would compare it to like my business. If I gave out like a free soda to somebody and then six other people saw that, they're going to want a free soda.
Yeah.
And then they're going to want a free soda. It never ends. Like once you hand out one handout, everyone wants one. So it's, and then they expect it the next time you go there. You know, it's just like, that's just kind of how it works. And I think that's what happened here is everyone got Tara Vinen pretty easily. I mean, I know somebody and we know him. I won't say his name, but he grinds the game hardly any and he got Tara Vinen. So it's like, you know, it's if he got it, then anybody can get it. So, yeah.
What fixes this situation now?
Get all more free MSPs. Like, but just do it in a little more increased way. Just bump it up. Because, like, realistically, I mean, they're going to give us one for Christmas every year, and when we don't use it in 2 months after that, you know. So
it's
just like,
you're right.
I don't really see like what the big deal is. At the end of the day, everyone's going to have 99 squads in a few months, anyways, and I don't think it like breaks the game. I'm gonna be honest, I don't even see that many Tara Vinens anymore.
That's because everyone keeps packing McDavid.
But you know what I'm saying though. Like I still use him because I don't have, you know, Kessel.
Yeah,
too.
I guess I use him.
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah,
man, I just you're don't... right, man. I haven't seen a lot of Tara Vinen.
And I hear a lot of people, like, he's whatever. I kind of knew going into it, but a lot of people didn't like him, I know, because they felt like he was small or whatever, and he got bumped up the puck. Like, I heard some people complaining about that. So, like, I don't know. I think if you make it, like, a player that's not OP, it's really not that big of a deal. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I think that, yeah, like, again, I think it's a dangerous line because of that one NHL game where we had the same free icon every month. Where
that's
everyone true. Got an icon, right? And then everyone's team was that. But I think that how this issue fixed, if they're not going to lower the games, I think an easy fix is just give us 82s for free by completing challenges.
But
like, go ahead.
Sorry, my bad. I would say that year, though, those were endgame cards. You know what I'm saying? So everyone kept them all year, those legend cards. The Madonna.
Yeah, I guess, yeah, to an extent.
Like, were these, like I said, like Tara Vinen, I don't even think he'll be on people's teams in like a month or two at all.
Yeah, you're right on that. Yeah, I guess.
But yeah, I mean, he's already my fourth line, and I have a free to play team.
Can we go back to the old Nations of Hockey event? Can we come up with one that would be like fair that we could remember? Maybe I don't know if I can remember any, but like that, you know what I'm talking about? Like,
wasn't there a Marian Hossa?
Yeah, like what about Kevin? What about Kevin Fiala last year? Like someone like that, not too big, not too small.
Oh, you mean like a good card, like meta-wise?
Yeah, because we were talking about that a few episodes ago, how going back to old events, how they did with Terra Vianen.
Oh, yeah. Like Oshii.
But making it a fair card where it's not too OP, but it's Oshii a good hand.
Oh, he's right-handed. They've done so many.
Did Oshii have an MSP?
Dude, he would have had to have been. I don't think he ever did.
Because I would have been all over it, because that was during my time with him being a blue. I don't know. All I'm saying is I think it'd be cool if, you know, you just did that every event. Like, I don't know how they would do that, but...
Well, like, I mean, Crosby would be an amazing one for Canada.
And yeah, that'd be too... Like, that'd be too, like...
What was the... Was it Winter National? Was that Nations of Hockey?
It was Winter National.
Yeah, Winter National.
McKinnon got one, but that's too...
That's too crazy.
Gavrik, Parise, Laine had a good one.
It's Parise. That's the one I'm thinking
yeah,
of.
Yeah, Carlson had one, but...
Carlson had one every year. He had one in two straight years. He got it.
Yeah, I'm looking right now.
You know what would have been a great one? Henrik Lundqvist, if he's in the game.
Yeah, Gavrik had one. Zuccarello.
It was the same guys year over year because they only had the rights to that one single winner, that one single world championship, because it was run by the NHL. That's why they kept doing those guys. They only had access. I think Kopitar was... Did Kopitar? No. Maybe did Kopitar get one? I get all these events mixed up.
Barkov had one year.
I think they gave out 92s that year at Christmas. That's
look at that's so man. Winter National NHL 20.
Yep.
Pavel Datsyuk 95 overall. Crosby 95.
That's the
95.
One. That was, and then Chara.
This
was
is the 90, Chara.
Yeah.
It was, I have Datsyuk, the card Crosby. Pulled up right now. Yeah. Dude. Okay, guys. Guess 93 overall Chara. Guess his speed and acceleration.
94.
Padre?
93.
95. Dude, that's why it never happened again. That's why it became a meme, dude. 95 Chara. Yeah.
That's crazy.
That would absolutely break this game, man. Like, it was hilarious. Because if you didn't play the game then, and you tried to pick the game up in, like, January, and the event was done, there was, like, you know what I mean? Like, that was the number one defenseman for the entire year. You just couldn't get into the zone.
Yeah, because they must not have, like, looking at some of the attributes in this game, they must have started speed off, like, super high. Because, like, these MSPs have, like, 98, 99 speed.
That's the problem, man. Like, that was why over the last couple of years you've seen it. Because that was the year where if they went up plus one overall, speed went with it. So then I believe the following year, what they did was speed. That was when speed started only going up by 0.5. to try and counteract it. And then every year since, they've been like lowering the start of overalls so that you've gotten to what we've got now, which I feel like is a pretty decent spot. Like the highest card is a Barzal is 97 with fly the zone, but that is one. And it has to be his X factor. Like, so it's a very specific card and he's not going to get an upgrade. Like he's not getting his 90 until I don't know when. That'll be a while.
It's good, man. I think it'll make the gameplay last longer.
Yeah, like, you know,
You know what I mean. Man,
I miss NHL 21, dude. Like, I actually do.
The content guys are crushing it.
Zach Parise.
Zach
Parise
would have been good. Yeah,
5'11". They did a bash.
Why did they stop that? Why did they stop giving the free? I thought the flashback thing. It's like they come up with a cool idea and then they just stop it. Like,
you're talking about with like the Terra Vianen after that one? I don't know. Honestly, that's what I'm saying. Like, I think you can be safe about it, and maybe this is something like we can pitch to them. Just be like, hey, you know, you want to get people off your back
once a month. You know, I thought, dude, we talked about this in the podcast before, how they didn't do the dynamic duo Sedins.
Yeah.
For when they went into the Hall of Fame during the milestone event or whatever. Like
that was a huge miss for
that.
That was
so perfect. Like, you had the card art. Like, it would have been, it depends on what their overall, no, because they can adjust overalls.
Once a month would work fine. Once a month. This month could have been Parise. I think that would have worked perfectly fine.
That would have been a good one.
Not too big. Not too crazy. Maybe not make him a 92 overall like he was back in the day.
I'm so curious what they're going to do. Their big one, like right around Christmas, if it's like a 4-week event, is probably going to be like a Crosby. Like I think that you're right with like, or maybe it's like reverse. Like since Canada got, does Canada have one? Am I tripping? They haven't released Canada. No, they did Eberle.
Yeah, Eberle.
They released Eberle. So I would guess that we get like Poulin or someone like a female one, and then US will get a male like that because there's 12 of them. Yeah. We're not going to give, like, Team Italy, like, someone, I don't think. Like, because you're getting, after 12 countries, you're getting into the weeds, I think. You're getting into the, you know. So, I don't know. That'll be interesting to see how they handle that. But, yeah, all right. Let's talk about abilities. So, me and Kessa were battling. I have a whole new gimmick, and it is only tip shots. And the only reason is because, A, I'm bad at the game. But B, it's hilariously fun. We've talked about this pretty much all season long, but it is pretty much now inherently all I go for because I've figured out a way to be good at it. And it's not just random blind luck.
So real quick, who is good at this game? Go look at the Hut Champs leaderboard.
Yeah, dude,
this is the one year where, and maybe it takes some time to figure out this game, but this is the one year I've never seen so many in quotations, bad records when they're really not that bad.
There was no 20-0 on PS5.
Yeah, I mean, you got Gren losing three games. You got different guys that never lose, losing multiple times.
18-2 was top five.
Yeah, like, I think
I don't know of a year that's ever happened.
It's tough.
Yeah, like that'll be in the last section of our podcast probably. But when it comes to just like abilities in general, now I think we've had the game long enough where we're at a point where, like, either we want to try certain ones out, and they've been very, very tentative to give certain abilities to certain to many cards. But man, I am all for a full forward line of big tipper. I don't care what position they play. I would run them as a theme team because it is something that I have gotten away from, and I feel like we all have finding a way to have fun while playing an NHL game that isn't you just getting sucked into the meta. Where, like, I mean, Kessa, I feel like you've gotten it because you do the Michigan. But
yeah,
I do that so much.
Because it's easy to do it, right?
Yeah, but it's the thing. Like, you now it's lost, like, your. It's. Dude, you score it and you don't react.
Which is I know. Because I scored almost every game.
Yeah. But, like, so, like, it's lost its thing. But last year, in the beginning of this year, you doing that with Zegras was, like, entertaining. Like, that was your thing.
I think you made a mistake not making MSP Pavelski instead of Stutzla with how you
I
play.
Know, dude. I
former Stutzla shark
went down.
Former shark,
mm-hmm.
And the tipping king, Joe Pavelski.
I'm trapped in the meta, man. I'm trapped in that. Like, dude, again, when you get into above Division Three, man, you're playing a different game. And if you're not super elite with the thumbs, you have to have these certain cards to give yourself the best chance. And Pavelski card is always so bad. They always do him so dirty. But he is, like, the only one, you're right, that has, like, big tipper. And
it would have been funny if you did that, just, like, for memes.
Now, low-key, every time I see him up and I've got a couple hundred thousand coins, I'm like, man, no, I can't
do it. You're gonna do it. Once you get Gretz and once you get Mario, or you already
mentioned. I got them.
Okay, so once you get your team of the years done, I have a good feeling we're going to see Joe Pavelski sitting on that team because he's gonna hit 99. I mean, he will hit 99.
The way I figured it out is you L2 a little bit, but now I've gotten to the point now where I can do it and get my guys to go to the middle, and I know where they're going to be, where their stick is going to be, and I wait for, like, someone to pressure me. And people get mad at people. I beat a guy the other night and he lost his mind on me because I had four tip-in goals. But, like, if you play collapsing protect net and you give the point away and I am firing my shot for my player's stick strictly for a tip, that's a good play. I don't care.
Great play. It's the nicest play in the game.
And it looks, and it, dude, it's so satisfying. For anyone that hasn't done it yet, go watch my video on how to do it, but just try it. Try it for a couple games, and you score a few, and you're just like, because you know the guy on the other end of that screen is doing the, dude, the under the, yo, Kessa, we got a lot of likes for this in the comments. The under controller, the under the desk controller twist, where you're almost snapping this thing in half. You know that's what's happening on the other end, dude. So, a big tipper I want to see more of. I want to see a bunch of forwards with it. You know, I would love to see gold big, because they don't give it out.
We don't. There's so many abilities that they don't give out that I want to see more of.
What do you want to see more of?
Truculence. I want to see truculence on forwards. Oh, I want to see gold truculence.
Are you scared? Because that one is clear.
Look, here's the thing. The way they release, we're talking about abilities, right? The way they release these cards, they cater them towards the meta of what people use, right? Every single card almost has unstoppable force, close quarters, whatever. It's boring. Like, sometimes there's elite edges.
But it makes them exciting.
It's like five abilities.
Yeah.
There's how many are in the game?
Yeah.
I don't know. 40 third?
Or 50?
Yeah, there's a ton. Like, I know some of them are useless, but we don't get any gold make it snappy. I think that one's good.
I think after the Rishot debacle, that, like, it's on every shot because every shot registers as a snapshot.
So, like, I think that one would be really good, and we don't get any gold ones. Dude, but no, we don't get any of them, though. That's what sucks, is we get the same abilities. So, like, give me gold Big Tipper on good players. Like, I don't want to use it on that 82 play of the year CHL player. Give me gold Make It Snappy. I want to see that soon.
Be bouncer. Well,
Padre, you're good with this. Give me two forwards that are high-rated, let's say 88, that have gold Big Tipper to make sense. It can't be Pavelski because Pavelski has his Evo
card. It can be current. It can be current or old gen, right? Or
any card.
Well, earlier when we talked about this, I said Ryan Smith would be one for sure.
That'd be a good one.
Yeah, that'd be a good one.
I said Wayne Simmons. I thought that he was really
Wayne
good
Simmons. That's Philly. Another good one. You could do like a flashback card with a Flyers maybe logo on it or something. He was awesome. Net front presence on the power play.
Crosby. They should just release a Crosby with it. Like, you know what I mean? Like I don't know if it's a flashback or. Because they do flashback. But yeah, a Crosby, like an 88 Crosby has Big Tipper, gold Big Tipper. I hate that if they listen to this and that car gets released, we're going to get absolutely flame roasted.
Hey, you know what? I'm no longer so.
That's it. Yeah, dude, we're just, you know, like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't go to them and be like, I need this card, man. Like, I, you know, so, you know, if we put it out into the universe. We can only hope. But I think those ones would make sense.
Yeah.
Dude, you know what I was thinking about the other day? Zegras and his... If you guys do not watch Kesso's streams, okay, we're not joking when he hits the Michigan every game but you're probably the outlier because you're like one of the best players online that can hit it competitively. Not just someone that can do it like a drop-in game or something like that, but that can hit it competitively. How have they not done a Svechnikov that's high-rated with a goal make it snappy? Or Forsberg, yeah.
Like. I don't know. I don't get it. Forsberg doesn't have an X factor, right? He does not.
No.
He has it in versus. He has skilled up in versus.
But even
I don't
gold,
know.
Like they haven't released it on anyone.
No, they haven't, and I don't know why. Like it's back of the box feature.
Yeah. I don't know if maybe they're just trying to protect the cover boy. Like maybe, like I don't know. I because like that it's another thing. Truculence is one I'm scared of though, because after seeing Uyghur, I don't know if it's because there's a lot of smaller players. Obviously, with the females being added in the game, there's a lot of smaller players because there's a lot of people that still use Poulin and like other females in their rosters. I think smaller players with the lead edges and stuff like that are a little more viable. And some of the mastheads have been smaller too. Truculence, Uyghur throws people.
Right? I have to make that one, right? Like he's good.
He reminds me of team builder Adam Foote from last year, which is one of the all-time best HUD cards. Like,
yeah, so you were saying that though, like you're scared of that, but the way they're releasing cards right now, it's so heavily catered towards that meta of like circling for the same behind the net goals, where it's like if you give truculence to some people, maybe
they're not
it counters.
Doing that. Yeah,
they're not doing it.
You're right. You're right. That does make it interesting because this is for anyone who doesn't know, like it's not so much the big hits; it's when you're side by side and bumping people.
Mm-hmm.
This year, you do not get the bumps the same you would in prior years, especially on PlayStation.
Buy them right now.
Like, dude, you should. I have him on both my teams. He's my number one. In my opinion, he is the best left-handed defenseman in the game right now. I don't know if you agree, Padre.
We talked about this earlier, too, or at least I think they should do this. They should get rid of shutdown altogether because I think truculence covers the hitting of shutdown. Stick and lock covers the poke checking of shutdown. Quick pick covers the pick, like the interceptions of shutdown. I think you should make people like have to choose, not just have a guy like Slavin that can do it all. And I understand. I kind of like
the shutdown a lot.
I know this. With Slavin, I wreck people with Slavin.
I guess,
but
that's
it's not
true.
The same. It's not the same effect, though. That's the thing. So it just mixes them all together. But when you hit somebody with Uyghur or Rob Blake, they're the two only guys with gold truculence besides Messier.
That's
defenseman.
Crazy.
They lay on the ice as if they're dead. Like
they're done.
But like if you play and this is what we'll get to in a second with like how I'm gonna try to play possibly just to mess around with it because there's nothing else to really do. Man, you can get some odd man rushes if you lay them on. Because they'll be laying on the ice for a good while.
They lay there like they got shot. It's crazy.
Nuts, man. It's nuts.
Yeah.
That's a good. The other one. Again, there's no way to quantify this, but I've been scoring it and I've been watching the replays on this. I am scoring a goal where, again, I L2 at the point a little bit and I'm trying to get my centerman to look at me or my winger to look at me, and they will, but sometimes they won't tip the puck. And I don't know what's happening, but goaltenders overcommit left or right all the time, whether it be just defending the rush, they get stuck on the short side, and that's why the far side goals go in so much. You can stare and look at where the goalie's positioned, and there's times where they're over too much, where they're to one side, and I'm throwing the puck in from the point, low far side, like a slow wrister. Kessa, you saw me do it like a couple weeks ago. I scored two today, and I did it with Fowler, his fantasy card, and he's got seeing eye, and I had it on him for some reason, and I don't know if like seeing eye or heat seeker or something, the ones that I believe seeing eye impacts the goalie's reaction time. And I wonder if it's penalizing it so much that like they can't move, or I don't know what it is, but it's a mess. But seeing eye is like the interesting one. I want to lean all in to a way to play the game.
And that's what I want to do. Yeah.
So what are you going to do with your team?
So, like, I played Gren this weekend, and Junior Penn says the same thing, because I talked to Dave about it. Junior, that's his name. And Gren's a great player, don't get me wrong. But I've always said the way they play, they just run at you, and then they try to crush you. And if you, the best way to play him is curling back and trying to, and I know Gren hates it when you do it, because it's like resetting or whatever he calls it. But it's the only way to play, because if they just, and he was using Uyghur, he was using Slavin, he had like all those guys, Murphy, you name, all the good defensemen, Tootin, he has shutdown also. And, I mean, dude, he would just clip me, and my guys were all over the ice. I mean, there was one time he hit me, and it hit one of my guys and knocked into my other guy, and they're all laying on the ice. It's the dumbest thing ever, because it looks so ridiculous. But it's like, if they're not going to do anything about it, and my biggest theory is, like, and this is the most obvious thing, and Kessel's already heard me say this like 8 times, if you're in my zone, that's where you're going to score, obviously. Well, then maybe I should just try not to let you in my zone. I don't know. That's the only thing I can think of, because once the game gets into my zone, I'll play good defense and still somehow let in a goal because my goalie's turned sideways. My goalie's standing up with the puck around his feet. My goalie, you know, like there. I noticed this too this year. A lot of times guys will run into my goalie and not even get called for goalie interference. It somehow ends my net. And
that might be getting patched, but yes, that's one of 50 issues with goaltending.
But it's just like there's things that I'm like, what am I supposed to do anymore? And I always consider myself a pretty good defensive player. And now it's like I feel like I'm so bad defensively, and I don't really have I haven't even played anybody where I'm like, wow, they're good defensively. Like Gren and Dave, the two people I played were, and I wouldn't like, I'm not saying they're like, I still, you know, score, like they're not like elite defensively or anything. I don't mean that. I just meant their style was the most annoying, I think, for how maybe the team plays. But what I was going to do, and me and Kessler talked about this, there's only one forward, which I think you kind of leaned into the skills in the last few weeks. Maybe running around with Messier the whole time and just crushing everybody in the zone while you skill zone. That's the move too. That could work. But you have to have a guy like that almost on every line. You only have to stay on that guy.
We need to flashback Dave Semenko on every line.
And then, so what I'm going to do, I'm going to try, like I have Uyghur, I'm going to build him all the way up. And I want to get Rob Blake. And I know you're real like, oh, he's too slow and he's big. And I agree.
But I think he's great because he will get outpaced.
My biggest thing, though, dude, I'm telling you, man, you just nick one of these guys. And and that's why I'm like, even if Rob Blake's slow, if I just clip him, he's done. Like, so it's like, I don't know. I might just play the line because me and you talked about this before the podcast. Sorry, this is a long-winded thing. No. Stick him up. It's great. It hits it. But there's a lot of times they'll get it right back and you'll hit it again. They'll get it right back. Or you'll hit it, and they'll poke off their stick, and it'll go to their other teammate somehow. So it's kind of just getting frustrating, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. So I don't know. I'm going to try something different. You got to mix it up.
So you're saying like you want like a full truculence team.
I want a full, at least my top four defensemen, because I don't really – the people that freak out about the third pairing, go look at your third pairing ice time people, whoever, like, you know, when you're putting like God Squad people, they're never out there. So, I mean, unless you play them on the peeper, they're never playing. You know, but I do want to do what Kessa does. I think it's like it'll cost 24 AP. They're going to increase the AP every month. It'll cost 24 AP on your top four. And then maybe like if you did every forward line, you know, one guy and player lock to that guy kind of, sort of.
Skills in with that guy. Yeah.
Dude, I mean, just find a way to have fun. Like, if anything, dude, you're just throwing guys around the entire time.
Dude, I'm telling you right now, besides like our sauce goals, our tips, the Michigan, one of the best things, just watching your Uyghur just destroyed somebody. Dude, I mean,
when I made him, he threw Matthews on the stupidest bump into like a relentless animation where he just dove for, and I was like, this is comedy. Like, it was nuts, man.
This is what I do with Max Jones and Robert Thomas when we play ESHL. It's like 5-year-olds playing a video game. We have like 9,000 hits at the end of one game. It's goofy.
That's exactly, man. Like, that's what I'm I would like, yeah, like, I think that's again, it's those ones, like, dangerous in the sense that,
oh, it can ruin the game.
But I think that, but so let's talk about goalies. All right, Kessel, unless you have anything else to add about the abilities.
No, I mean, we're good. Yeah.
They tried to change the way fundamentally how this game was played in a coding sense, where they're trying to make it appears all the game modes play similar, so like World of Shell and 1v1. And I think that in the end, that will be good. However, the problem is, as a consumer, we've got to suffer through like the where it won't be good while they're slowly trying to make it happen, and it's a long process. And the problem when that went in, the goalies, man, like, they play like ESHL, so like they don't go automatically into the butterfly. Anything around the net, dude, they don't hold the post. The reason why the wrap works is because if you go and watch the goaltender, they don't hug the bar. They go into a butterfly animation like it's like someone holding down R2. And even then, when a pass goes through, then they get stuck on the post because then they decide to hold the post. Yeah. It's like the game's AI is trying to first read what it would do and then be like, is there a human animation that we could do here instead? Okay, no, let's just do the AI motion instead. And then, like, you know, except for one-timers. Because one-timers, they make the insane spread eagle save, right? So, around the net, man, I don't know how many times. 22 was my least favorite game experience because I felt that was a game where, again, no glitches, but there was very few even set plays you could run. It was only the Pogues goal, essentially. And it was very sim-based. The most sim-based NHL I think we've had ever. And what happened was I felt like more often than not, games where you felt like you should have won, you didn't. And in 23, what's happening is like the goals that are going in against you are just mind-boggling. Like, I had three today, boys, that I'm not good enough offensively to overcome this stuff. And you guys are. So you guys, I don't think, experience that to the same end because you'll win your game still more often than not when this stuff happens to you. I'm talking like I kick it in. Dude, the goal that's going to win your bad play of the month, Kesso, had me howling. Guys, if you do not follow Kesso on Twitter, please go follow him, because when he releases his video, you're going to cry. Like, it is one of the funniest things I've ever seen, and it is totally, like, I can see it happening like all the time, but it is one of the best comedy pieces I think I've seen in this game. So, like, I don't know. Nothing is going to change this year. Right, we're gonna, like, goaltenders are what they are, but I think what's happened so far is that you've lost all confidence in your goaltender making a save that they think they should save.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and around the net, man, like, what do you do? And I think maybe truculence is probably it. It's probably the only thing that, because at least when they wait for you to chase, right, you get close enough to bump, but they're holding their backhand or they're holding A. And nothing happens. But if you have truculence doesn't give a shit about the AI.
I want to play Scott Stevens Hut Champs. That's what I'm going to do.
Like, it doesn't give a shit about your A button, truculence. So maybe that is the play. I don't know. Like,
I got to change something up. I mean, it's, by the way, I always compare it to, and you guys all experience this, when you take control of your goalie and then he gets glitched.
Yeah.
And then it's messed up. That's what I feel like this game is in goaltending. I feel like the guy's like, glitched or something. It's
trying to read
thing.
Two different things. It's like two different people are like, hey, we should do this. I'm like, oh, hold up, I think you should do this. And then it's too late. Like, that's what's happening, it looks like. And it's awfully brutal to deal with because it's all down along the goal line. Dude, how many times has the puck been passed into your net?
Yeah, it happens so much on north to south plays. Like, if you're passing for a cross crease, right, and you're and the guy you're passing to is like on the post and you're just a little bit higher than him, the goalie doesn't read it at all.
No. It hugs the bar and stands up. Like, it's like,
yeah, but it doesn't even hug the bar, though. It's like kind of glitched to where he's like almost in the middle. Peters out there from like the North Stars.
The ultimate kicker of all of this, though, is that when you manually control your defenseman, it's NHL 21. There's no intercept model. Yeah. I don't know how to explain it. Maybe I'm wrong. So in the comments, let me know if I'm wrong. But after playing this game, 500 total games, probably, if you are poe checking along on the rush, there is no way you are confident in knowing that you are going to get the puck back even when you feel like you should, and you get burned, or you're manually controlling for the backdoor cross-ice pass manually, and you are manually controlling, and you do not get the animation where the player will move a stick, and it's like...
Well, dude, I don't even know what to do, because, like, if you... Like, let's say you do this defensive skill stick, right? And you're... And it's hard to do, but your stick's perfectly in the passing lane. It just clips through the stick. Like, it doesn't deflect at all.
It's like there's no stick in physics.
Yeah, so there's that. And then it's like, if you LB or, like, L1, it goes through your player's knee. So, like, I'm lost. I've had a lot of 8-7 or, like, 6-5 games.
I said this the other day, like, on the other podcast, I think. And, I don't want to... I am not someone who likes the skill zone. I think that it's funny when people skill zone because there's ways to beat it. Very, very easy ways to beat when people just sit there. When I say don't control your defenseman, it's not because I think it's the cheap way to win. It's like, I don't know how you have confidence in manually controlling your defense. I don't. Like, and I'm not, you know, I'm not elite. But it's very frustrating when you make the correct play and you don't pull your guys out of position. You put them where you should be. So now all I do is when I see my defender, for whatever reason, wanted to come and attack the puck when he's covering the backdoor winger, is I just manually select him, drag him back over where he should be, let him go, and then more often than not, he intercepts the pass. But other than that, man, like, defending the rush, I just control my forward. I take my forward at the first one and just beam him straight down because, like, along the boards, dude, that Pocheck, it just goes right back to him. Every time it goes right back to him, and then you're burned because of the nerf, for the skating nerf, right? So I don't know, it's a lot. It's frustrating.
I'm afraid to use Makar. I know everyone's big on Makar because of offense, but it's like, that's what's like, what am I going to do with him defensively? Because if he doesn't poke, like the poke messes up.
I think it's play style. So, like, if you have elite edges on a defenseman, your ability at the point to get open
get back
is very easy and get back. Cause you have to remember that elite edges is when you don't, Reg said this when he went,
it says it on the description, by the way, I was looking at it earlier.
No one notices that though. No one noticed that elite edges is always active. So when you are trying to defend someone who's making all these cuts, elite edges on a defender allows you to make them with them. And I think that people overlook it. Reg's talked about that last year after he won GWC. He was like, I use elite edges on my defenseman. I was like, why? Like, what are you doing? And he's like, man, it works when you don't have the puck. And I was like, oh, well, it makes total sense now, right? And I think that's why. Like, if you don't mess around at the point with your defenseman, you either take one-timers or you get it down low and you cycle. Like, I've watched a lot of your games. Yeah, you take a lot of one-timers in prior games. Like, you're like, you take a lot.
Well, I've been doing the walk the line with the LT a lot this year and flicking turrets.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. So if you have elite edges on with Makar, I've noticed, is it's very easy to walk the line. When you get someone who's, I'm trying to think of a defenseman, Teppo Numminen, he's not the most fleet of foot. And when I'm trying to do the L2 thing, it's dangerous doing that because if they poke it free, it's a breakaway, right? Because you're open to the center of the ice, right? So you have to have someone that's quick with it. And sometimes when you don't, like, it's you're getting a breakaway again. So.
Yeah. I gotta hop off here. So
that
we're at the
all
end
right, anyway. Guys. That'll do it for episode 59. A lot of good stuff in there. Let us know in the comment section down below, and we'll see you guys next episode. Have a good one.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.